You are now listening to the Voice of San Diego Podcast Network. For more information, visit voiceofsandiego.org/podcasts.
Hello, thanks for listening to the Kept Faith Podcast. I'm Nick McCann. I'm joined by Travis Russell.
Hey, go Padres. Things are looking a little better than last time we talked, Nick.
And I know. And on the line, we got a man with dizzying pursuits, Dallas McLaughlin.
We're in on Marte.
In on him. I'm glad we're in on Marte because we weren't in on Marte for a second, and I was a little worried.
Well, we're in on Marte. We're in on Bryant. We're in on Merrifield. We're in on Tommy Pham. We're still in on him.
Is Tommy Pham in on us?
We might trade for Hunter Renfroe again just for good measure.
And
we're in on everybody.
I don't know if we're in on this, but one of the hottest rumors I've heard is Giancarlo Stanton, which I don't know if that fits at all, but it's interesting that that rumor would even be associated with the Padres.
I like the idea of trading Hunter Renfroe and trading back for him because we can't send him to El Paso to teach him another lesson, right?
Listen, I would never trade for Stanton. I think that's maybe the worst idea ever. But
is that real? Where the hell?
There's a lot of
okay.
He's so fragile.
Yeah, they're trying to shed his salary. And so they're trying to pawn him off on the Padres. Listen, Stanton's fine, but he is a DH. He is no longer a fielder, and he's going to keep getting hurt. So it's a terrible pursuit, and I'm glad I haven't heard much more than like the 1 hour that was a rumor. But listen, we're in on Marte.
That's what I'm going to do all the time until it happens. He's in on us, and we're here with him. But. Before we get all deep into the rumors, let's talk.
Wait,
about...
Hold on. I just got an update. I have my MLB trade rumors app update. Hold on.
Okay.
We're in on Marte.
It's easier than drops, you know. But
it is. It really is.
Before we get all into the all deep in the rumors, which is a new segment called Deep in the Rumors.
We need like a TLC drop for that.
What about your friends? Let's talk about the fam trade because we haven't recorded since that happened. So that happened. When did that happen? 10,000 years ago? I don't know. But
yeah,
Tommy, it was the day after we recorded.
Okay,
so
it was
last
Thursday. Yeah, Thursday night, fam night. So we traded Hunter Renfroe and Xavier Edwards for Tommy Pham. And that other guy who does two things. What's his?
Oh, shoot.
Cronenberg or something? Yeah. Stonenberg or something?
But the major pieces are Pham, Renfroe, and Xavier Edwards. How are you with this trade, Dallas? Do you like it? Do you hate it?
Well, here's the deal, Nick. I don't care. When we were texting about it, and initially I was sad to see Xavier Edwards go, but as long as we have CJ Abrams, that's fine. It was just a weird thing that we like traded Urias and what we could use as a good second baseman. And then we traded the next in line for that job, which just seems strange to me. But like, listen, I don't care about anyone in our outfield. The only guy I really want to see play outfield that was a Padre last year is Franchy Cordero.
Amen. He's doing good, by the way.
Dude, what is up with people getting – Franchy is not a part of the plans. I'm out on Franchy just because I
– Well, it's not that I'm – like, I'm not in or out. It's just that I'd like to see him play again to make that decision. That's all. Like, I think that he had so much potential – and I just like to see if he can pull it off again. And if not, no big deal. But I don't care about Margot. I didn't care about Renfroe. Who else do we have in the outfield anymore? I don't care. I definitely don't care about Naylor. What a waste.
Well, Naylor should be playing first base for somebody.
He should be playing first base.
Yeah.
And it seems like here's the thing about the Pham trade is I always liked Tommy Pham. I have nothing against Tommy Pham. I think that I made the assertion in our text that he was an organizational cancer, And then I did my due diligence and I read up about him, and that seems to be false. So look at me taking the high road and learning.
Wow.
But like, so I'm, you know, and he's on base percentage. Listen, the thing Padres always have a difficult time doing is getting on base. I like Tommy Pham. This other kid that they got, or not a kid, but the guy that they got is a AAA. Everybody was like, oh my God, he hit 338 in AAA. But then we forgot to see that he was 27 years old. Any kind of 27-year-old AAA player, I don't know. I'm not too excited about that.
Yeah, that. I mean, that they say that he's like a further – he seems like a two-way prospect that could actually be useful in that role, but he's not – it doesn't sound like he's very special, so I'm not
– Yeah, right. Like, I don't think – like, you can't really call a guy a prospect who's 27. But like, he's, you know, yeah, I think that maybe he, to me, remember like years and years ago when you used to have Dave Magadan
as a hitting coach, or
no, when he was a Padre,
was he
a
on
Padre.
The yeah.
Yeah. He was a Padre pinch hitter for like 3 years. Yeah. And he just, and I feel like maybe this guy they picked up, Cronenberg or whatever, might be like that kind of a guy where he's just going to be on the bench. Either way, he can maybe throw an inning, or he can be a pinch hitter or something like that, which, whatever, I'm fine with that. But it's just like, it feels like with the team we have, as much as I like the Tommy Pham deal, I just feel like with the team constructed as is with Pham, like I'm not seeing that much of an improvement over what might happen compared to last year. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to bring some excitement back that we lost when we lost Franmil. I think Pham's an exciting player, but I don't know. I'm not like, oh, well, now we're going to win the division. I don't feel that way.
Well, he seems like he's already shown it that he is a fully formed product, and he's an adult on the field.
Yes.
It seems like
he's a professional.
He knows how to, know, it's not like we're going to have to watch Dark Hunter, you know, for 2 months or something like that. You know, it seems like that's a direction the Padres have gone on, at least with the Profar signing and the Pham trade. Yeah, we talked about him last week a little bit, but do you have thoughts on that? Or it seems like it feels like they're connected in a certain way because they are better on base guys. They're more fully formed products. There's a feeling with these moves, including Pham, it's like we're watching projects anymore. It's more of like finished guys. Let's see. This is our team. Let's go.
Well, yeah, I think, I mean, you know, I with Profar, listen, I've always been a fan of Profar. I mean, I drafted him in our minor league draft for fantasy. You know, I've always liked Jerickson Profar. And I think that, I just think that he's a good player, and I think that he can do, you know, I don't know. It's weird because like he had that flash last year and the year before where people were like, oh, Jerickson Profar, like he could be a contributor at the big league level. And I think he solidified himself as a contributor. So that's good. And I agree with you guys 100% as what you were saying last week too, is like, yeah, we're not going to be watching guys who look lost at the plate. We're looking this year. It seems to be, we're going to have starters who actually feel like they know what they might be doing at the plate. They might have an approach already, which is of course much more exciting. And I'd rather sit and look at Profar. I know that Padres Twitter is probably going to go after me, but I'd rather look at Profar at second than Luis Urias. I just would.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Urias, I want to talk about something connected to that. Like, you know, there's the fear when these deals happen where they're going to go off and like Milwaukee's going to show us what we didn't see in Urias. I mean, do you have any fear of the Urias revival or the Urias coming of age story?
I wrote about this years ago when people were flipping out about losing Trey Turner and that huge, all those deals and getting Kemp and everything, that whole, you know,
when you were in on Myers,
when we were all in on Myers, let's not forget. There
we're not in
like
on Myers
people.
Anymore because we're in on Marte.
We're in on Marte. I don't have a fear that, listen, like Trey Turner, that's the thing that I think is so funny about people go, well, Trey Turner is a superstar for the Nationals. There's no possible way that you could have predicted that for every team the guy would have been on. like, I believe in advanced stats, but I also believe that your advanced stats, a lot of those advanced stats are also going to be contingent on other guys' advanced stats. Like, you don't get to be great. You know, you look at somebody like, you know, I mean, look at Machado. Like, Machado was a Padre last year and probably had one of his worst statistical years as a big leaguer. And who's to say that Trey Turner would have been a superstar if he was going to be on the Padres? There's so many factors involved in that. His coaches, his team, the environment he plays in most of the time, like, so many things factor in.
San Diego's cursed, you know, all those things.
To who you are as a player. So, like, with Luis Urias, like, I think that I honestly think for him, San Diego might have been a curse. I think that there was so much linked to him not being successful in Petco Park in a Padre uniform. Sometimes you can't get over that. And,
well, I mean, also,
I honestly think that might have been a mental barrier for him. Like, he could have been defensively, he was fun to watch and everybody liked playing with him. But, like, if he goes to Milwaukee and he becomes a superstar, I just think that happens a lot. And who knows why it happens, but, you know.
Well, one thing to look at is also, you know, for Urias's case, I don't know how much pressure he was feeling. He's just a young player, but, you know, like, there is something that happens when a player leaves an organization that they were brought up in, where they don't have the weight of having all the investment of time and drafting them, you know, like that. Like, do you think one fear that everybody has that I've heard this week, especially since the FAM trade, is that, you know, when you trade with the Rays, you get burned a lot. And do you see? No, but I mean, they're a smart organization, and, you know, Hunter Renfro goes there. They might platoon him to only face pitchers that he does well against. And, you know, I wonder how that plays out. Are we going to get burned because the Rays burn everybody in trades? And they won't have the attached weight of Hunter Renfro has to figure it out. Hunter Renfro has to be this piece that is, you know, connected to everybody in the development staff, everybody that's brought him along. It's like, he's just a guy that hits home runs against one type of pitching. So it's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think Hunter Renfro is, sorry guys, my daughter is in gymnastics class, so I'm just making sure she's not getting released yet.
Can she hit left-handed pitching? Cause
we can use her.
Oddly enough, she's really good against left-handed pitching. Yeah. I think that, like, you know, listen, the Rays are a good organization. They're smart. And I what's funny is I haven't had a chance to talk about this. So I was going to, it's good that we were talking now. Cause I think I mentioned to you guys a while ago that I was doing a show at Whistle Stop, and I went down the street to eat at a restaurant, and there was two people eating behind me, me and Sam. And they were young, very young kids. And they worked for the Padres in analytics, like doing analytical research on players. And I was like, ooh, I kept listening to their conversation. I don't know their names. I couldn't tell you who they are, but they looked like they were like 17 years old. And they were saying stuff that was really strange to me. Like, they were like, oh, well, he had a really bad year last year. Look at his OBP. And I'm like, okay, that's something I heard. And they're like, oh, but he had a great year this year. Look at his batting average. And I'm like, wait a minute. Like, I thought, I kind of thought batting average didn't matter to anybody anymore.
Yeah, I thought we were done with batting average.
How do you,
or does it?
How do you know that they? How do you know that they were team employees?
Because they told me.
Oh, you talked to them.
I could not ask them who they were. I was like, hey, do you guys work in baseball? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, they're like, yeah, we work for the Padres. And I'm like, oh, what are you guys doing? They're like, oh, we're trying to find cheap talent that's under the radar.
This just happens to you in South Park? Jesus. What?
Yeah. And I was like, oh, cool. But they were literally hiding their computer screens once I stood up and talked to them. But it was just weird to me. And I'm like, is that our analytics department? Are they saying that a person has a good year one year because of OBP and a bad year the next year because of average or whatever it was? Like, it just didn't make sense. And then I'm like, oh no, like, is this our analytics team? Like, is this why we keep getting burned on everything? Because they don't totally know what's going on. It was really weird. And it made me feel really, really strange. So, like, I think that, and I think the Padres Twitter is, you know, booming in on this a lot more, that possibly, and I have to leave you guys with this thought, but possibly the problem here is that our analytics team, as much as I always want to fight against analytics, isn't up to par. And And so far, I really haven't seen much from Preller to tell me that he's this genius, because the talent he does acquire is always talent, but then it never seems to happen at the major league level. So once he can start showing me major league level talent, I'll start believing he's a genius.
Yeah, well, I mean, he hasn't...
Profar, right? Doesn't that count, Dallas?
I hope so. Yeah. Listen, this is...
Well, I mean,
year,
he didn't they draft him in... At the Rangers, been on him since his career started.
At the Rangers.
Yeah.
Clearly, if you ever had worked for the Rangers in the last decade, you might become a Padre. but anyway, listen, I'm long time, first time caller, and I'll take my answer off the air.
We're in on Marte!
We're in on Marte!
We're not getting Marte, are we?
Well, our outfield is getting quickly crowded. Do we need more outfielders at this point, Nick? Is that really where we need help right now?
Well, I mean, it doesn't seem like they have anything set in stone.
No.
I mean, who would you like? It seems like the outfield is still up in the air a little bit. I mean, Pham will be there. It sounds like he'll be healthy for opening day, I mean, for training camp. And then you have the platoon with Margot and Grisham. Then
right.
You got that Will Myers fella. Then you have Bubba Trammell coming faster than you can say, I don't know.
Yeah, I you got to figure out how to move the Will contract. And I don't know if that's possible unless we do something like we did with the Dodgers with Kemp, where they ate like $10 million or something crazy on that contract.
You got to find a team.
Do we want to do that?
You got to find a team that wants, who still believes in Will Myers. And I don't know if the Padres don't, Will doesn't. And I don't think any other team really does, and they're not going to just, you know, we've been over this so many times.
Yeah.
They're going to have to pay, and it's going to come through in prospects. And the central question of the Padres and the Padres fans is, how deep are you willing to go to unload him? And it's going to be scary, man. I mean, it seems like he can't be a Padre, but, you know. Eventually, they'll just talk themselves into saying, well, Will's going to figure it out. He has to.
He has to. And I wonder what's going through Will's mind, just because if I was making that much money, I don't personally like the guilt. I don't know if that's a thing for anyone else, but would just I'd be a nervous wreck already. I would be in the cages every day, all day. I would spend as much money as I possibly could getting the best trainers, the best specialists to come in and fix me. I mean, to me, $20 million, whatever he's going to make next year,
yeah,
is just so it's mind-boggling. I can't wrap my brain around it. I can way easier wrap my brain around the Cole $35 million, $36 million a year move than giving Myers $20 million to do what he did last year. It's frightening.
Well, yeah. So this week we got the two major pieces, you know, that are off the board. Strasburg signed and Cole signed. So those are. You know, how did you feel about, you know, the Strasburg signing? I tweeted something. I was a little upset. I just get upset whenever anything happens anywhere near the Padres universe. I just tweet first and think about it later. It seems like I get really upset no matter what. But, you know, I kind of had a vision of maybe him being on the mound opening day. He's a kid who grew up here. He was coached by Tony, Tatis, and Machado are to his side wearing brown. We're at Bay City getting ready for a live pod or whatever. You know, it all clicked in my mind. And then he went for, you know, 7 years for what was it? 245.
Yeah. Which is like 35 a year.
Yeah. And good for him. Like, and that is terrifying. If we actually did that, that would have been,
I would have had buyer's remorse immediately. If we would have done that to me, once he gets over, I don't know, 28, 20, like that is just way, way too much money for a 31-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're paying for the first 3 years of that and then just eating the rest. But, you know, he is a national. It is the richest ownership group in baseball. So, I mean, it does make me wonder, like, you know, the Yankees fans did a similar deal with Cole, 345, or is it 324
for nine. So it's actually 36 a year.
Yeah.
But the year cost to me is what really matters. Like, what are you making that year? Because the years vary.
Yeah,
but
he has so an opt-out after five, but no trade clause throughout the whole thing. But, you know, for me as a Padre fan, these two signings also bring me back to you know, obviously the smart move for us is to not do that, but it also makes me, it always brings it back to the idea that like other fan bases don't have to live in this reality where they have to really think about the owner's money.
Right.
Like we could never do that because it would be financially stupid to do that. And they would end up hurt. It would end up being a tough thing for any ownership. It's going to be tough for the Yankees and the Nationals to deal with the back end of those contracts. Yeah. But
the last 4 years of those are just,
We can't sign Will Myers to an extension that is kicking our ass now. Right. And we can't sign Haas and make those mistakes, which I'm calling it a mistake, the Haas contract. But like,
yeah, so far, I think
these are the good years, but I don't want to go down the Hosmer
rabbit hole,
but like that's going to be a problem. It's only going to get worse. Yeah. And you know, we're not in a situation where we can have a team screw these things up and still be in the market for a Cole or a Strasburg or whoever the next guys that come up.
Yeah, I looked up the richest owners in baseball or whatever, and the Nationals owner is in like the $6 billion, I think,
yeah,
range.
He's a
so this
monster.
Is not a thing for them. But as far as Strasburg goes, is the hometown homer.
East County,
like yeah. Right next to where I'm currently living. I grew up. But it wasn't enough for me. You know, I think that growing up in San Diego, having that Tony Gwynn homer experience is like all I need in life. I don't feel like I need to pay a guy extra or some kind of, or even him to take the hometown discount just to, you know, have that connection. To me, I just want to win, and whatever it takes to win is what I'm in on. Getting back to the pitching situation, Bumgarner, how much do you think he's going to sign for? And I would, honestly, the more I think about it, if we could get him in like 24 a year.
Well, it sounds.
I think that would be the money well spent.
Before these two deals happened, I think that the general consensus is that he was going for five. He was going to get 100 for five, but it'll probably be more than that. If those guys are getting that, and he's like the same age as Strasburg.
So he
obviously he's shown his velocity has gone down a fair amount. He's not the same pitcher he was in 2014, where he's the most clutch pitcher we've ever seen. I mean,
no, but he's like got the body, he's got the wisdom, and someone like that where we don't have the extra $10-15 million, you know, they just won a World Series and they're the hottest thing on the planet kind of thing. Where Bumgarner is sitting right there, to me, more than any other outfielder or whatever, I would love to see that kind of like low to mid 20s.
Well, we've talked about this last week and it's been going around. I mean, they're looking at $140 million payroll. That's kind of the area they want to get to. But if they're doing that, they're going and they're not moving off of Myers and reducing that the payroll attached to that. I mean, are we going to see a San Diego Padres baseball team for $165 million? I don't see it. Not now. But you know,
I don't know. I think it's totally possible after the Machado signing. Like, this ownership group looks like they're willing to spend. Do I think San Diego deserves it? 100%. Like, and I think the Padres can afford it. Absolutely.
I feel better when they spend. I just want that. It feels better to me.
It does.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, you know, like, so last night when Cole drops and it's, you know, it's the story of baseball. What is it? An hour later, we see the tweet from Ken Rosenthal that the Dodgers are getting serious about Madison Bumgarner.
Yeah.
That is a really funny dynamic that I cannot stop. I would almost like to see them get him just to see the awkwardness. And I mean, they are oil and water.
Didn't they have like shirts made about Muncy had shirts made about hitting the ball in the water. I mean, there's just so much going on there.
He's everything that Clayton Kershaw wants his career to be.
Exactly.
I mean, he's done, not necessarily, but like he's done things that Clayton can't do.
He's won three World Series?
He's three World Series. He has two of them. I don't know if he was on the first team, but still, he has the greatest postseason performance of all time.
Yeah, he doesn't fold under pressure.
Yeah, and just to see that dynamic, if Madison Bumgarner started on opening day over Clayton, he would probably be Walker Buehler. But
they're like the yin and the yang, the dark hair and the blonde hair. I mean, it would be kind of great just to see the theatrics of it. But man, that would stink for the Padres.
Yeah,
because they're also, I heard rumors about the Dodgers looking to get Lindor, and just like if they could, I mean, they have the money to do it. And
I mean, the big pieces that are still out there, you know, Rendon, Ryu could be a possibility for us. I'd actually rather go after him than Madison Bumgarner.
Yeah, I'd love that too.
Yeah, there's a lot of pieces out there. I don't know. I mean, it seems like the catching situation, they might just ride it out with Hedges and Mejia one more year and wait for Camposano to come up.
Yeah.
But I'd love to see, I mean, something could happen there. It's weird to have an off season where the biggest question for Padres fans is what they're going to remove from the roster.
Yeah.
And Will Myers. I mean, that is the big question, and we don't know how it's going to go.
And so much could hinge on it. I mean, that $20 million, if it's not on the books, that's huge. Absolutely enormous.
I think anybody's fine with it. I mean, it seems like the biggest question is who's attached and who's the fan base not ready to part with. A fan base that has been had a very watchful eye of the minor league system in a way we've had to. I mean, the last.
That's all we had, Nick.
I know. Well, you know, I want to talk about, like, this is probably going to be our last podcast of the decade.
Wow.
I mean, it's been a decade.
It has.
I mean, this is a decade where Padres fans have spent most of it really focusing on the minor league system because the major league product has been so
minor league
awful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're probably not going to do another podcast unless something major happens. Do we do an emergency podcast if Will Myers is gone? I guess we do, right?
I might just send you something.
Okay,
I might
cool.
just record something. I've been off the Will Myers train now for years. I was very unpopular. I was one of the first one to jump off the Will Myers bandwagon, and it has been I've felt like an outcast Padres land.
You deserve closure.
I deserve closure, and I deserve credit for being right. I mean, come on. This is going on 2.5 years now since the All-Star break, pretty much. I could see he performed for that venue. He's been on the downslide. And I've probably said this on podcasts 100 times, but the reason I could tell he was on the downslide is me and the season ticket holder that's in front of me, we always make this joke, look, Will's out there kicking daisies again.
Yeah.
And when he is out in the field, he looks like he doesn't want to be there. And that, to me, is all you need to know about a player to move him off.
It does feel like, you know, the Will Myers stands really were after you for a long time. But, you know, it does seem like most people have come around to the idea that this guy probably needs a change of scenery at least. I mean, there's obvious talent, but it's like, it's never going to work here. And the ownership group has made it very clear that, I mean,
they are disappointed.
They're done.
Yeah.
I mean, they're done. And totally. They wanted to market him as a star, and now they're eating it. But, you know, so let's go back the last decade.
Okay.
You know, we have the 2010. That was the year they almost got close, right? They had
Did we make the playoffs that year?
No, they didn't. They almost did. They had that. Remember that August where they collapsed?
Yes. Yes. This is when. Yes. In fact, we were really into that team. That was like Eckstein and Green and that was a fun team.
Then we trade Adrian, which is a pivotal moment in Padres history, a local born player who has made himself into an asset that's going to garner $140 million in 7 years. He says he wants to play for a winner. We can't give him that. We are not giving him $140 million over seven. I think that's what he ended up getting.
Yeah.
Like, we weren't going to do that either. So he is gone. The promise of Petco Park, that, you know, if we built Petco Park,
we'd win.
We would have the opportunity to sign and keep players like that, is totally gone. And that's the kickoff of the decade. Then we get into the real fun shit where it's like that hazy morass into, you know,
divorce.
We got divorces, and our divorce turns out a lot worse than the Dodgers divorce at the same time
because we didn't have as much money.
Yeah, they get one of the richest ownership groups in sports history to buy them, and we get the Morad group, which turns in back to the Moors, and then we get this group.
Right.
So in 2012, the end of 2012, and going in basically 13 through now. And, you know, we talked a little bit about this last week where Peter Seidler went on Darren Smith and kept talking about how this next upcoming decade was his decade was going to be our decade.
The Padres' decade, yes.
Yeah. And, you know, like, what have these guys done? I mean, this last decade that's closing up right now, that was their decade too. You know,
right. I mean, think there's a nice 6-7 years there.
I think the big story of this decade is, for me, is that period between about 2013 through where Preller starts making those trades, where they're owners and they don't really do anything. And they have this overlap between the old regime and now and the new regime. And if you talk to fans and you talk to like people that are looking at this organization, they don't really it seems like for a lot of people, they're not really on the record until 2015.
Right.
But that's not really the case. They bought the team at the end of 12, and they had this gap period where they're kind of like, they're employing Bud Black. They're having, you know, they have Josh Burns is still there. It's like an overlap of blame, you know, an overlap that allows blame to be cast away from them. You know, I think that's a period that should be looked at more than what we do. It seems like it's just Preller makes the trades, doesn't work out. We go into a tank.
Right.
And then we start to get out of it with the Machado trade.
That's how it is in my mind, but you bring it up back that way. Yeah.
13 and 14 are just these two. What happened in 13 and 14?
I would love to look at our records. They were pretty lean.
They're awful. They haven't won in a decade, and I'm curious, like, what happens next decade? Say they're successful. I mean, you know, a lot of these organizations, they spend a lot of time engaging in nostalgia for, like, past eras. I mean, is there going to be a nostalgia for this decade? Or is it just going to be a black hole in the timeline?
Well, there wasn't any. If we just went through the 50-year celebration, and there wasn't much from that last couple of years, you know, as examples of great things. It was all like we went back to 98, and that was our 84 and 98 have been our historic, you know, years to remember.
It's like 98 opening of Petco Park. That Matt Holliday didn't touch home plate, and then it's just gone.
In fact, when you said let's talk about the last decade, my brain went exactly to a decade ago. Exactly was Matt Holliday.
That was the
biggest last thing that happened to us.
Yeah, and that was
12, 13 years ago now.
I'm just curious. I mean, how do we do it? Do we, you know, this podcast basically becomes a podcast this decade? We started in like 2009.
Right. Late 2008, 2009. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we had a gap between I think mutually we couldn't really talk about it anymore.
There was nothing to talk about.
The Morad stuff. It wasn't like, you know, it just was a thing that I didn't want to engage with. And we come back because of those trades.
Right.
And since then, it's, you know, they still haven't won. We're engaging in these arguments where we're talking about, oh, these guys are the best owners in Padres history. No, they're not. Yes, they are. Well,
no, they're definitely not the best.
They're not the best owners in Padres history. Yeah, there are owners in Padres history that have had winning seasons, so they win, right? I mean, we're still looking at wins and losses.
Right, but I think they, last year with the Machado signing and then the way that Tatis came up and stuff, they are showing with, not just with words now, with actions that it could be our decade. It sucks having spent all the money we did, at least I did, on season tickets and all that for the last, you know, 10 years with not even that great of memories even. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like a lot of just watching bad baseball, going to the game spang. I'm spending $40 to watch this team like kick the ball around the field and strike out. Because I like watching baseball, period. If Little League game is on, you know what I mean? And the kids are really into it and they're hustling and they're trying to play ball.
I know.
It's entertaining. And Padres baseball has not been that entertaining over the last decade at all.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we should talk.
There is hope, though, Nick.
There is faith, and that's what we engage in here. I mean, it's so annoying that, like, that is part. We've talked about this 100 times. It's like we are rooting for a team that uses faith as part of the marketing, and we actually have to engage in it. There's no end game. It's just this next decade could be our next decade.
Right. If
that's what we have to hang on, because
if fate allows, if you keep the faith.
Well, let's talk to somebody who doesn't have to keep the faith. He just keeps writing, he keeps reporting what happens. He doesn't take any bullshit from anybody. We're going to talk to the San Diego region's AP reporter, Bernie Wilson, the bro of all bros. He was down at the winter meetings this week, and he's got a lot to say. So let's talk to Bernie.
Yo, bro.
See you next time. See you next decade, guys.
at the reception. A glass of wine in her hand. I knew she was gonna meet her connection.
Hey, Bernie, this is Nick and Travis. We're just, we really wanted to talk to somebody who's been down at the winter meetings all week. Without getting too specific, what's the scene like?
Well, first of all, what up, Nick and Travis? It's the usual cluster. I mean, have you guys ever been here?
I've been to the Hyatt many times, but I've never done the winter meetings thing.
Okay. You know, you really aren't missing much because, you know, it's on the one hand, it's sort of cool. On the other hand, it's sort of deeply annoying because the older I get, the less human contact I want to have with other humans. And, you know, it's just, you know, it is great because they all 30 MLB managers come through over the course of 3 days. You see people in the lobby. But it's, you know, you have access to the general managers. But by and large, it's a time suck. Just because, you know, you sit, I won't name teams, but, you know, I've there's four AP people here. So we get farmed out to other teams that we don't normally cover. And, you know, there's just a lot of stuff like, well, we've got meetings set up and, you know, we're talking to people. And then you ask for specifics. Well, we're not going to give you specifics. You know, and it's you know, a half hour of that here, a half hour of that there, and pretty much you've wasted most of your day just hearing all this nonsense. So, you know, I prefer to cover sports where there's specific action, this esoteric whatever garbage. You know, it's part of the process, yes, to use a favorite Padre word, but one is enough, and I did the one 5 years ago when it was here. So this one is like whatever. You know, it's for me, it's over tonight. I'm not coming down here for no stinking Rule 5 draft. But so that's pretty much it. It's sort of fun, sort of annoying.
Yeah, would you say that San Diego should host the winter meetings? Is the new Antonio Gates used to play basketball?
No, because then I'd have to cover it.
Yeah, that's it.
I sort of like the 1 in 5 year rotation simply because that means the next one I might be – hopefully I'll be retired by the next time the next one's here.
The guys on MLB Network make it seem like they never want to leave, but who knows?
Oh, well, you know, it's like when all the Hicks come out here for the Holiday Bowl. you know, it's cold and miserable elsewhere. I know our New York writers like coming out here because it's – San Diego, you know, to us it's cool today, but to them it's like, man, this is nice. There's no snow on the ground and it's not freezing cold. So from that perspective,
yeah.
But and you know, it is good. It puts the city on the map. I mean, there's three MLB Network sets here at the Hyatt, so you know, including one, you know, all up by the pool at the Hyatt with the skyline in the background.
Yeah, it looks
cool.
Good.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So it's the cool, you know, the Chamber of Commerce must love it. Of course, our friends, the hoteliers who chased the Chargers out of town, you know, they're making a ton of money. So, you know, from that perspective, sure.
Yeah.
Everyone's happy.
You sound like a,
but I'd put it this way. If I had a choice, I'd rather have the All-Star game here every third year than the winter meetings here ever.
Good point.
Well, yeah. So let's talk about the Padres. I mean, what are you hearing? It sounds like they're not saying much, but they really want to get rid of Will Myers. Are you ready for that kind of bomb to drop?
Yeah, I have a feeling though that you know, Will Myers is going to be in the opening day lineup.
Really?
That's just the negative nabob in me. I mean, maybe, you know, they're going to obviously have to, you know, give something up to get him out of town. And in fact, AJ was just asked about that, you know, the rock star GM. You know, there's all these reports out there about Myers and about Austin Hedges. And if they end up staying, do you have to mend, you know, relationships? And he said, no, it's, you know, they know it. It's a business. But I'm sure he's working hard behind the scenes to come up with deals. And I gotta say, Agent Preller never tips his hand to the media. I mean, never.
Yeah.
So you really don't get a sense until something pops. And then usually what happens is it's not that us local scrubs aren't working our rear ends off trying to get stuff. It's just that, sorry, I'm giving a bro hug to a bro who's going home.
No worries.
Is, you know, the big national guys get these scoops because they're getting stuff from agents.
Right.
You know, word always breaks before a deal is officially final, as in the Tommy Pham fiasco. Well, I guess it wasn't total fiasco, I guess cluster.
Yeah.
But, you know, they get word from the agents, and then they tweet it out, and then the rest of us are left scrambling. And I guarantee you, AJ Preller is not tipping anybody off. So if there is something in the works, you know, and that's the other thing. Will it pop Friday? Remember 5 years ago after the winter meetings, he had that crazy day when he announced all the trades and free agent signings, and it was, we were, you know, we couldn't write these things fast enough, and the next one would come into the email box. He said there will be less volume this year right after the winter meetings, but you know they're not done, and maybe they will move one or both of them, but, you know, you just really don't know.
So when the team finally gives up on trying to move Myers, do you think we start getting the pieces about how he's heard all the critics and he's got a new approach to being a professional?
Oh absolutely.
That's what you think? That's like January-ish? We start.
That's good. And you're all over this. That will be January, and then all of a sudden February. God, look at his swing. He's got a great swing. He's got a great attitude.
Best shape of his life.
Oh, there, you know, you have heard everything. The best shape of his life, and then
the Jace new slow mo video.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Right. And then Jace Tingler will say, "I've managed him in my mind, and he's had the best spring training of his life." I can't wait for that.
That's
one.
The best.
Yeah.
It's just this shows my age, but you know, Bobby Ross used to say that Raley Johnson had the best training camp of his life, and then we wouldn't see him again until somebody got hurt in December. So, yeah, you guys know the drill. It's like there'll be the new Will Myers, and his hair will be perfect. And, yeah, he'll have a great spring training, best spring training of his life.
It'll be a headline like the Tingler Effect, willpower, right, or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you can use that. That's free.
Okay,
dog.
Thanks. That's free. Why don't you tweet it? Because the best lines were stolen in the press box and then immediately tweeted.
Yeah.
You know how I Padres Twitter at least would totally fall back in love with Will Myers 100% if he would just shave his head and like put all that to rest, and him and Tingler can have like the same look. I think that's really this point, unless he starts hitting the cover off the ball, the only way he can revive himself here in San Diego. He's got to go. He's got to bick his head.
Well, you know, speaking of shaved head, I'm standing here in the lobby with Mark Mud Grant.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah, see, this could be a whole thing. You know, the bald friars.
And Mud nodded approvingly when I told him who I was on with.
Hey, we're PR approved. We just had Jesse on, so it's all good.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, once you guys get PR approved, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
quick question. Is the buzz around the winter meetings basically that this feels like a more accelerated process that compared to the last few years where it's been kind of trickling out through?
You mean the last few years where it was boring as hell and stupid beyond words?
The second season, I guess you could call it.
Yeah. No, I mean, well, remember Monday, I was still in I had left beautiful El Cajon to come down here and get bored to death when the Strasburg deal hit.
Right.
You never, well, from, you know, the few winter meetings I've covered, or, you know, at least you're paying attention when there's somewhere else, is you never have that quick of action. And then for Garrett Cole to pop last night, I mean, that's phenomenal that the two big pieces, as they say, have come off the board, and, you know, the winter meetings haven't officially been gaveled closed. So, yeah, it's heating up, and that's how it should be.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't know that, you know, there's been talk that maybe there should be a deadline on signing free agents, but, you know, enough of this garbage of pushing it into February or March and trying to get to squeeze the last dollar out. I'm really tired of the excuse for any ball player. I don't care if they're Padres or somebody else, and, oh, he signed late and it took him a while to get up to speed. I'm sorry, but that doesn't cut it. They're professional athletes. They train in the off season. They still swing a bat and put put their glove on their hand and go out to the field, and that should never, ever be an excuse.
Yeah.
Nor should, you know, guys should be ready to go to spring training when it opens. And so that's good. And now maybe, you know, a whole bunch of other pieces will fall in it. And it's good that, you know, both of those guys are Scott Boras guys, and he likes to squeeze every last dollar out and keep the process going as long as possible. But I guess it's a good sign that, you know, both of those are his guys and both of them have deals.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Scott Boras, I saw that he gave a press conference. Was that yesterday? And had a background and everything. You were there.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, is he like, does he walk through the hallways kind of like levitating, or is it like water?
Almost, but he does that every year, and that's been going on for a decade and a half or two decades now. But it's just more, and there's more and more reporters covering it. And so this year, and he does it at the GM's meetings too. And this year, yeah, they had the backdrop.
Yep.
And you know what they desperately need is a sound system, because he does not have a microphone. And it's, on one hand, it's amusing, it's a spectacle, but it's annoying if you're actually trying to get any news, because it's such a cluster. But the one thing is, you know, if you wait him out, guys get tired, they get what they need, they tap out, and space opens. It's like a mosh pit, or like you go to a GA concert where you try to get as close to the band as you can. And eventually, you know, he spoke for almost an hour. So, and by the time he was over, it was done, you could almost see the whites of his eyes. You could get that close to him. So, you know, from that perspective, it is sort of cool. You do have access to him, but he doesn't say anything other than, we're in talks, or we're doing this. And of course, all of his clients are great. You know, I think one of his lines was, you know, great teams want great players. And, you know, if a team really wants to win, then they'll be in contact about my client, things like that. So, but at least he's out there. No other agent does that. Now, no other agent has his aura, his standing,
cachet.
But it would help other agents if they did that. But, you know, Boras has been doing it for years, and now he's got the banner. Next year, maybe he'll have a laser light show, and then maybe in the third year, the Stones will open for him, and then he'll go on stage. So I'd like to see that progression.
I'm sure he could afford the production value, so might as well, right?
Absolutely.
He secured, I saw Ken Rosenthal tweeted, with between Cole Strauss and Moustakas, he's already secured $633 million. I mean, could he just pick up Bob Manfred and throw him in a trash can if he wanted to? Because it seems like he's running the sport, it seems like.
Put it this way, I wouldn't be opposed to that in the slightest.
Alrighty, let's.
I would think, you know, it's very safe to say that he's the most powerful man in baseball.
Easily, I think.
Easily. You know, he's not in sports, because obviously Goodell and whoever runs FIFA and the IOC chairman, but Boras clearly is the most powerful man in baseball. He's a de facto GM for some clubs, like the Nationals. And, you know, yesterday he always does this thing in the lobby, and he should have done it in the big press room, because they have a stage, a podium, but MLB, apparently the story was he wanted to use his backdrop, but MLB wouldn't let him. And so there wasn't time to come to any other agreement. So he just did it out in the lobby with his own banner. But, you know, he easily is the most powerful man in baseball.
Yeah. So one last question before we let you get out of here. So what's the word on the floor about the Astros? It seems like they are the villain of the sport right now. Is everybody just kind of waiting for the big news to come down? I saw AJ Hinch had a pretty rough press conference. Were you at that?
No, I poked my head into it just long enough to hear him say, "I cannot comment on that." And I haven't read the transcripts, but I'm sure he said it several times. But I saw a glimpse of the Manfred transcript from his presser today, and apparently he said they've interviewed 60 witnesses and have seen 76,000 emails. So it could be a very large shoe that will drop. There could, you know, look, I don't know facts on, obviously there's still a lot more ball to be played, as boats would say, but the word on the street, as they say, or the word on the docks, as they say in the My Beloved America's Cup, is there could be firings, there could be suspensions, and it could be big time stuff. So obviously, if Manfred mentioned that in his newser today, and the transcripts are available online, you know, something big probably will happen.
Yeah,
crazy. That seems like a bigger investigation, this impeachment thing. Dang.
Well, I would, as much as I dislike Manfred, at least it's a lot better than listening to these clowns in Congress yell at each other.
No doubt. But yeah, that's quite the investigation.
Well, and you know, like Marcus Semien the other day, they had this phony all MLB team, and he said, you know, everybody now has to think, when we played the Astros, were they cheating us?
Yeah.
You know, every team, and that you know, they're a division rival. But if anybody who played the Astros, you know, you got to think, were they cheating on us when we played them? So yeah, it's huge.
Yeah. Well, hey Bernie, thanks for coming on, man. I know you're a real busy guy. You got a big New Mexico Bowl to look forward to coming up. But
I don't travel. I just stay home and cover the round ball team and then the big holiday bowl.
It's just the New Mexico Bowl that lives inside you, right?
Right.
It's in all of us.
It's our spirit animal.
We're just, you know, like, we're just keeping our head above water until, you know, the next New Mexico Bowl.
Right. Yeah. I would, maybe a good typo would be the new Methamphetamine Bowl.
Frisco Bowl 2.
Right. Since it's at Albuquerque High, as they call New Mexico.
All right, bro. So, well, hey, bro.
All right, bro.
Keep thanks, bro. On. We'll see you next time. All right.
All right, bro. On. Take care, fellas.
See ya.
Bye bye.
Padres are
ball busters.
Well hit deep right at the fence. It is going in.
Drive right center field. Way back there. Way back there. Near. Going. It's gone.
Great play off balance. Throw to first. They got him. The sensational play by Alan Wiggins.
2-0. High fly ball. Well hit right field. Look out. Maldonado at the wall. Terry Kennedy. Home run.
Drive to deep right field. If it's fair, the Padres will have the lead.
The show you just heard was part of the Voice of San Diego podcast network. To hear other great shows like the Voice of San Diego podcast, I Made It in San Diego, a show all about the people behind the region's businesses, the award-winning Culture Cast, The Kept Faith, a San Diego sports show, and more, please visit voiceofsandiego.org/podcasts. If you'd like to sponsor any of the podcasts, please email Aaron at voiceofsandiego.org. That's ERIN at VOSD.org.